Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
They say we're young and we don't know. We won't find out till we grow.
Well, I don't know while that's true, 'cause you got me, baby, I got you. Hey, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. Say our love won't pay the rent, for it's earned, our money's all been spent. I guess that's so, we don't have a plot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got. Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got flowers.
And can you guess who's singing that, ladies and gentlemen?
Sonny and Cher.
Sonny and Cher. And I can guess your age because of that.
And but that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. I heard I Think I Love You by David Cassidy right before that. Yes. So that's really showing my age.
That's how it is, teasing. Well, that's why sometimes you want to throw in a couple of these songs in 2024 so you can throw people off with all of that, right? So, but Sonny and Cher, what a great... Did you used to watch that show back in the day?
Of course.
They were amazing. And Cher is still going around, and Sonny's still a legend. So, and we are here, and I've got you, babe, and you've got us here right here at the Shrink and Wrap Show. Thank you for listening today, and good luck again, because we are scattered all over the place. So today our show is going to be very exciting. We have a great guest here, Trish. I'd like to welcome Trish again. Thank you for your support, being our co-host here. And Juan is a new family member who is our production engineer. Thank you, Juan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me as an engineer and production
manager, and I hope you still like your job after this hour. That's all I have to say.
Every Thursday, I love it.
I love it. I love it for you. And Rowene, thank you so much. We welcome Rowene, who calls herself a sexologist.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about bringing your relationship closer and the things that are going to keep it alive. So thank you for being here.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, what's going to be the Rowene show today? Because, you know, I left all my notes at home. So this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, I love spontaneity.
I told her everything happens for a reason. So you must have a lot of good stuff to tell us.
All right.
I did bring some. But okay. Rowene, I don't know if you're familiar with our show, but first of all, it's a Shrink and Wrap show. And you are our licensed, you're our number 4 therapist. And we thank all of our therapists here from the beginning, from Peggy.
Carolina,
to Mendy, and now to you. So we have 4 different licensed therapists in the area that take their time of their busy jobs to help you and us to get through this thing called life. And that's why it's called the Shrink and Wrap Show. We have 4 shrinks here that's joined the family. Trish is a wrap. Renee's a wrap. All of my friends are wrap. My listeners are wraps. You're a wrap. So what we do is we take licensed therapists, we'll take a topic, and we will tie in a licensed therapist point of view, and then we tie in a wrap point of view as if you're going to lunch, and then we tie songs in as therapy to get through the topic to help us all get through this thing called life. And this is to lift you up, because no one should be alone. There's a lot of topics out there, but when we open up and we talk about them, you know, we get through it together. So, and again, this show, I always say, it is based on suggestions and opinions. This show is based on suggestions and opinions. And today our topic's going to be monogamy. So before we get started, I can say it because I haven't said it in a long time. Mm-hmm. That's a nervous go-to phrase I say, but I'll say it 2 times. Okay. Before we get started, we're going to have a loosen up song. So let's take a listen to Marvin Gaye and his partner about It Takes Two.
Light shine through. It takes two, baby.
And Rowan, does it take two for monogamy?
Yes.
Yes,
it absolutely does.
It does. So that was kind of an appropriate song, right?
It was.
And I think totally. Sonny and Cher kind of represented that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
So I think for today's show, we're going to focus in on that. I've learned there's different types of relationships, but monogamy with time purposes and quality of what we want to talk about, because I don't want to be rushed through. And mm-hmm. we thought monogamy would be a really good topic today. So,
okay.
So we the last couple of shows, we had, first of all, for all of you listeners, you should have been listening to my show a year and a half ago, just letting you know. But if you're just joining us, right. Rowan, we've started this series of relationship building, and we've never heard of a sexologist. And when you've been in a relationship for a long time, or if you're just getting started, there's some tips that you might want to listen to our therapist that can help you bond and have an everlasting relationship. And Rowan, you said you have a master's degree from USF, right?
USF, yes.
Alumni, so I was there too, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. And you work with the homeless?
I have in the past worked with children, with the homeless, with disenfranchised families. I've worked on military bases with the families of active duty service members.
Yes.
You know, we tend to think it's only the military person who is in the military, but really the children are in the military, the spouses are in the military. It's not something that's just the purview of the person who is the active duty service member. So I've been in Germany, England, Alaska, to name a few of the places where I've worked on military bases with primarily the children and then the family as a whole and some couples to keep the marriages and the families together in the face of a whole lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love to hear that. I love that you're dealing with the family because you only focus on the person in the military. And that is so important. Did you happen to see the movie, Trish, did you see the movie Elvis?
No.
Yes.
Yeah. Could you identify with that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I could watch that and see all of the pieces that many, many military families deal with.
That's where he met Priscilla.
Yes.
Right? When he was on duty. If I'm wrong, I could, from what I remember from the movie, then that's where he met her. But I love that you focus on the children and everybody as a family as a whole. That's amazing.
Yes. Speaking of Elvis, when I was in Germany, I was stationed in a town where he was also stationed at and went to a pub where he had played the piano. And they have the piano there as a memorial to him.
Oh, that's very nice. I love that movie. You should watch it, Trish.
I will. Why? I've been looking
have
for
you
a
seen
good
it?
Movie.
Have you? Yeah, you should watch it. It's really good.
No, I haven't seen it, but I'm going to.
I've watched it three times.
It's a nice, it's a good
three
movie.
Three times. Yeah.
Is that
really
on Netflix? Is it easy to access?
Yeah, Netflix. That's all I have is easy access.
Okay.
Yeah, one click. So we've been talking a little bit about monogamy, and we've talked a little bit. We're going to review some of the things we've talked about to get all our current listeners. And I was just teasing out there if you haven't listened to us for a year and a half, and it's probably a good thing because we're brand new. But just to catch you up, we were talking about last week or a couple weeks ago about monogamy, and you said listening is definitely very, very important. In any relationship, right?
Absolutely. And listening with the intent to understand. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges we all face is listening to understand rather than listening to answer. You know, the majority of us, when we're listening, we're just waiting to say whatever it is we want to say to make our point. And that causes such a clash because nobody feels heard then.
Mm-hmm.
And then people engage in what I call verbal tug of war. Just let me prove my point. And that never ends well. My daughter gave me a meme the other day. There was a picture of water coming down on a brick. And it said, listening to talk next. And then water coming down on a sponge that said, listening to understand.
Perfect.
perfect.
We all need to be sponges. We mm-hmm. all need to be listening to understand. Whether we're talking to our spouses, our children, or our best friend, we need to listen to understand rather than to answer. And that's a skill on its own that takes a lot of practice.
And I would say it's a skill. I'm very good, you're very good at listening, and I've on the show, if you're new listening, whatever, I do have a little bit of, I mean, I don't want to call it out all the time, but I do have a little bit of ADD. I have short, like, I feel like I have to say something, and I'm only saying this for anyone that can identify, it's not about me, it's in case you're out there and you have this problem, but I feel like if I don't say it, then I'm going to forget it. Maybe it's short-term
yes.
memory.
Mm-hmm.
But I listen all the time, mm-hmm. all the time, but I interrupt. And so listening is a skill, and I think it's something you have to focus on. Do you think that comes from reading a lot, maybe when you were younger? Where do you think listening skills come from? How do you learn to listen? I've Googled that before.
Yes. Well, you make a decision that you're going to, and you practice.
Yeah.
Because it's none of us are taught how to listen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we may have parents who were authoritarian and we had to listen, or there was a punishment involved,
mm-hmm.
or a parent who wasn't there. These days, I talk to so many kids who say, I wish my parents loved me as much as they do their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's challenging because yeah. we are so involved in our technology, our phones, our computers.
It's true.
Yeah, can I say, I lost my phone a couple weeks ago, and I literally am feeling the effects of it now.
Uh-huh.
I lost it for 5 days. I am saving money.
You got a lot done.
I am getting things cleaned. But the one thing that is missing are my phone conversations with my regular friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you're not listening because you're just a thumbs up, and you're not comprehending, so there's no emotion behind that. But my phone's not ringing of friends that I've had friends with for 20 years, and I'm feeling that as an adult. Like,
yes.
wow. I've got an old-fashioned phone book, but I'm just saying that I think it does matter, the connection. And also comprehending is important in conversation, of understanding what they're saying and listening with
yes.
a purpose. So
yes.
that avoids arguments, right? Would you say?
It can. One of the biggest challenges that I'm seeing in couples today is this propensity to text everything. And the challenge with texting is the communication is only 7% words. The other 93% is tone of voice, mm-hmm. volume, facial expression, body language, mm-hmm. and something called mirror neurons that we all have that continually scan the environment for energy signatures, for useful information
mm-hmm.
for us to utilize in survival. That was how it came about, but we mm-hmm. still have them. So when you text, you're only getting 7% of the communication. That leaves the person receiving the communication building stories in their mind based on their perceptions, their past thought processes,
mm-hmm.
whatever's going on. And even if it's a perfectly benign conversation, so much can be read into it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some new research that they did with college students that they had them text their parent, and then after they had the text conversation with parent, they measured their level of oxytocin. And oxytocin is the bonding hormone that our brain naturally releases to have us create connection.
Mm-hmm.
So they measured the level of oxytocin after texting with a parent. Then they had them call the parent and actually hear the voice and talk to them on the phone. The oxytocin levels tripled. The bonding level tripled.
Mm-hmm.
So we aren't bonding with people in the way that we need to create meaningful long-term relationships mm-hmm. when all we do is text with them.
Yeah.
Our brain is not releasing that chemical. So when I have couples who that's their primary way to communicate,
mm-hmm.
they are significantly lowering their oxytocin outputs, which create more bonding and understanding.
Yeah.
So phones, while in many areas I think they've been fabulous in this area of relationship and connection,
mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that they're the best thing we've got.
I definitely think there's a balance.
Yeah, I was going to say sometimes they autocorrect and they don't even say what you said, and then you get in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
But I would like to add that I think sometimes when you are in a disagreement with whoever, I think texting might be good. Like if I'm, is that true or false? Because if there's at a high emotional level and you think, well, I better text and you can read it.
Yeah.
What's your response
there, to that? There are lots of pros and cons to that because I hear that all the time.
It's like, I'm arguing, but, I'd rather read a text.
Yeah, because somebody will interrupt me or I'll lose my train of thought. So it's just, I get my point out if I can just write it.
Yeah.
You get the words out. But do you actually communicate the feelings that are going with them, the place, the perspective that you're coming from about it? Yeah. And if you're minus the oxytocin that's created when we're in the same room together, then how understanding are you being of what you're reading?
Right. Right.
And we've all seen podcasters, Instagram people, famous people who have received really horrendous comments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can you do that?
Just because somebody doesn't have to face the consequences of what they've had to say.
Yeah.
So we've turned into a harsher, meaner, less understanding population.
Mm-hmm. No empathy? Would you put that under?
I would put that under a really lowered empathy level. Because, we can cancel them.
Yeah.
Cancel culture is one of the worst things that has happened to human relationships.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if less empathy, if it's learned behavior, if you're born with it. I wonder if that's or a little bit of both. I don't know.
Maybe a little bit of both, because we have epigenetics. Everybody's pretty much familiar with the double helix DNA strand that gives us our height, our eye color. Mm-hmm. But there's another strand that goes the opposite way around the DNA piece that's called epigenetics. And on that DNA strand, that epigenetic strand, is the beliefs, the personalities, the thought processes of 32 other people. Mm. Those 32 other people being parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. And we don't know scientifically what triggers some of them to express, but we do know that they do express. My son was a perfect example. Before I had him, I came strongly down on the side of it's nurture versus nature.
Right.
But his father and I split when he was like 18 months old, and I moved to Florida, brought him to Florida. So he had contact every summer with his father, but that was about it. When he turned 14, I would swear I was talking to his father.
Yeah.
And he's now 48. And just a few weeks ago, he and his wife and I were in the kitchen talking, and he said something, and I looked at him, and she looked at me, and she said, "You thought you divorced that, didn't you?"
And
that's the epigenetic strand expressing as we grow. So it is a combination.
I have a story.
Of nature and nurture.
Yeah, I have a story. And if you're out there listening to us, be a little patient with us. We're going to get to the monogamous part of all this, too, but this is all leading up to it. But I have to tell this story. I wasn't going to talk a lot. But I have this friend of mine. I was at my hairdresser back when I was probably early 20s. Long story short, a lady had come in there. She sat down, and I told my friend, I said, "Oh, my God," I told Cherry. I said, "She looks just like my friend." I'm going to call her Renee. I said, "She looks just like Renee. She acts like Renee." And I told her, I said, "You remind me of my neighbor next door, Renee. You're a clone of her." And I was obnoxious about it, just obnoxious. So when I left the salon, long story short, I get a call 2 days later that was her biological mother.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding. I got goosebumps even talking about that. And she had not seen her daughter since she was two. And which, because it was a better situation for her to be with her mom. I mean, with her dad at the time,
uh-huh.
and that's how it worked out, and that was all good.
That's amazing.
But somehow that whole scene reconnected with. But when you talk about genetics, I had to share that story to give you an example or to validate what you just said.
Yes.
So I think it's a little bit of both.
It is a little bit of both.
Wow. Yeah. It's very interesting. Very interesting. So anyway. So let's go to again. Can you review what are the advantages of being in a monogamous relationship? Speaking of that, because I lost my notes from, I didn't lose them, but I left the old ones home, got the new ones today.
Yeah.
But can you review those? I have an idea.
Well, the advantages of being in a long-term monogamous relationship is not just familiarity, but a sense of safety, comfort, and security.
Mm-hmm.
In having, in a world that is often thrown in chaos,
mm-hmm.
and many unexpected things happen,
mm-hmm.
and uncertainty is kind of the anathema of humans. Nobody wants to be uncertain. Nobody wants to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a long-term partner, it can kind of feel like a shelter against some of life's uncertainties, life's vulnerabilities,
yeah.
because you can talk to each other, you're familiar with who they are, how they react. There is so much that goes into being connected,
mm-hmm.
and feeling, and a lot of it's unconscious,
mm-hmm.
because, as I said before, our brain functions 100% of the time, but we are only consciously aware of 5%.
Yeah.
That means that our thoughts, our words, our actions, our behaviors, our beliefs all come out of our unconscious,
mm-hmm.
and they run our lives, and we're not often aware of that. And when we have a long-term partner, they begin to observe our patterns and they'll tell us about them. And that gives us the chance then to heal, to look at them, see if that is the way we want to do it or if there's some other way we can.
Right. And we definitely, who knows, we might have some time later on today, but at some point we definitely want to talk to you about unlocking that unconscious, those unconscious patterns.
Right.
Because I think that takes a lot of open-mindedness and
insight.
Feeling insight and wanting to.
Introspection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we don't live in a culture that encourages introspection.
Yeah.
We live in a place that really encourages the superficial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And only looking outward. And to get in contact with those unconscious patterns, you have to be willing to look inward.
Right.
And look back over your life and the things that you do all of the time.
Right.
And those are the unconscious patterns. A story about unconscious patterns that brought it to my mind. My sister-in-law, she had lived here and we were close, and then she and my brother moved back to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me and she said, "I really miss you." I'm like, "I miss you too." She said, "No, I miss those sounds you make."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "I make sounds? What kind of sounds do I make?" Because I'm not familiar with the fact that I make sounds. She says, "Oh, you know those ones? Sounds that you make when you're soothing a child.
Yeah.
You make more chest sounds because mm-hmm. it vibrates and they feel more easily and relaxed."
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a mother since I was 3. I'm the oldest of 7 kids.
Aww,
and
sweet.
So I just, those unconscious sounds I have been making a good portion of my life, but never recognized it until she told me about it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's funny, sitting here, you can hear sounds that, you know, I have allergies, and I didn't realize how bad they were until you do a radio show. You start hearing more sounds than you want to hear, or all this stuff. You know, you learn a lot about yourself, too. I have to see if I hum at home and all that. Do you, like, but that's a good thing.
Or talk to yourself. Like, yeah. I'll be through the grocery store talking to myself, and then I'll be like, "Oh, my gosh, there are people around. I'm just talking to myself."
As long as you're saying nice things to yourself.
Today, you can get away with it easier because people think you have an earbuds, it's okay.
My hair covers my eyes, I'm safe.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're in aisle number 7 at Publix, you're like, "Oh, yeah, sure, I'll call you right back."
Because that is an embarrassing moment.
It is.
I did want to ask you, though, can you uncover those unconscious things yourself, or do you need the help of a therapist for that?
Certainly you can uncover them yourself if you're aware enough.
I have done that before. That's the only reason why I believe in it.
I absolutely believe in music, reading.
Yep.
There are a lot of ways to uncover what's going on in our unconscious if we're willing to set the time aside to be introspective and really pay attention to what our patterns have been and the things that we've always done, because the language of the unconscious is habit.
Mm-hmm. We don't like change.
Oh no, change. Humans do not like change. They're unconscious. Our unconscious like to know what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And the way that we got all the neural pathways in our subconscious is by habit, is by repetition, right, by doing them over and over, whether they were healthy or not. Mm-hmm. We have completely set our book of rules to live by, our unconscious book of rules to live by the time we're 8 years old.
Yep.
From 6 months in utero to 8 years old, we are these marvelous little sponges absorbing, interpreting, creating for ourselves what it takes to survive.
Yep.
And the thing we know about kids under eight is while they're delightfully creative and intelligent, they don't have a whole lot of wisdom or experience with which to make decisions. Mm-hmm. Yet we make our whole life rules by then.
Yeah.
The only two times those rules change is when we've had trauma and when we've decided to self-actualize, when we either find a path through reading and studying with a therapist, with a group, to examine ourselves and how we're moving through life. Other than that, we're all running around operating on the stuff we learned before we were eight.
Yeah. And I think too, like when it comes to trauma, I think when things happen when you're young, you might have a feeling that you don't understand. And that feeling could unlock, like, why am I feeling that? Gosh, I'm just watching this TV show. Why is that affecting me like this?
Mm-hmm.
Like it shouldn't, you know?
Right.
And then that can unlock your unconscious self, you know, trauma.
Right.
Yes. And I think that it's interesting, but I think you have to be wise to be aware of it. But I'd like to talk more about that on another show, because I think the reason why we're talking about this to all of you that are listening to our show right now, you're listening to the Shrink and Wrap show, and you are listening to Rowen. Can I just tell everybody, can you give your phone number really quick? Because I'm going to do it a couple times while you're on the show. Give your phone number. If you like what you're hearing so far, please give Rowen a call if you would like to talk to somebody outside of your car or your office, or you feel like you need to talk to her and you like what you're hearing right now. Can you give them your phone number?
Absolutely. It's 813-857-2401.
Okay, one more time.
813-857-2401.
Yes.
I also do telehealth as well as in-person therapy. So we could talk while you're in your car if we need to.
Well, there you go. See, she's up to date with all this stuff. That's good. Good for you. Well, you know what? I'm going to play a main song, and I'm going to play this, and then we're going to get back to the topic, a couple questions with the monogamous topic. And then, but I do want to talk, because this next song, everybody knows it, and I thought this would be perfect for this. It is by, you know, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And let's go ahead and play that, and I'll tell you why I'm playing it.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Is there something else you're searching for? I'll fall in all the good times. I find myself longing for change. fear myself. Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void?
I think that's just a song that never really gets old.
I wish I could sing because I would love to sing that. So emotional.
It's just so emotional. And do you have an idea, not to put you on the spot, but what it's about?
In the shallow, so I guess they're not being true to each other.
Well,
is that right?
No, but you know what? This is what we talk about in being a therapist, that everybody interprets things of what it means to them, so there is no wrong answer. Juan, do you like that song?
I love it. Beautiful song.
You love that song. So, and do you have an idea from a therapist point of view what that might have meant, that song? With
the male character struggling with mental health issues, with depression, with
addiction,
how to live his life, addiction, a variety of things. And the female role is wanting to support him through that.
Right.
And talk to him about how to heal.
And it sounded like they had a very good relationship.
Yeah, the communication seemed to be really well.
It started a little bit with intimacy. We talked about that, right? They're bonding, they're talking. Awesome. So, but I'm just want to read this real quick. It says, I was Googling it last night, what it really meant. And Lady Gaga in an interview said that it was shallow. The words signify a time when men and women are having an open dialogue with one another. The conversation is what makes the song successful and beautiful and why people cry when they hear it. Gaga said, it's because that man and women connect and they are listening to each other. There you go. So I thought that would be a perfect song for listening and monogamy.
Yes.
So there you go. We got a therapist, rap, and Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. So now going on, we're going to take a little nonprofit break.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back to monogamy.
Okay.
So Trish, tell us what's going. This is our agape love.
Yes.
Agape love.
Wonderful.
This is Greek mythology.
Yes.
Okay. I have a couple fun events coming up.
Okay.
Sunday, April 7th, Running with the Rays. It's a 5K run benefiting the Rays Baseball Foundation and the Rowdies Soccer Fund, dedicated to improving the lives of those in need within the community, focusing on education, youth development, wellness, and social responsibility.
That's awesome.
Anybody want to run?
Well, I tell you what, there's some original Rowdy players that probably still live here. There was, do you remember a couple of them?
Not by name.
Wes, I think Wes McLeod was one.
Yes.
Was Perry Vanderbeck? Perry, he's a goalie.
Sure.
I think they're locals, but hey, I'm giving a shout out to the original Rowdies and to the new Rowdies. So that's a very nice.
And those are fun games to go to.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But that's a fundraiser for them.
Yeah. You said and Rowdies, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's short-term the Rays and the Rowdies.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And then Saturday, April 13th, Max and Me Pet Rescue is holding an adoption fundraiser.
Aww.
And I did get one of my dogs from them, and I can say he's a very good boy.
Aww.
And so you should check them out. That's Saturday, April 13th from 12 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hosted by the Neighborhood Bark and Boutique in Safety Harbor. It's an off-leash dog bar.
Ah.
And you don't have to have a dog to go there. You just have to love dogs.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, My Kind of Place. So yes. Check that out. You can bring your dog over there to meet new friends.
That's cute.
Mm-hmm. Again, at the Rays, Saturday, April 13th is Autism Awareness, and April is Autism Awareness Month.
That is so nice.
Yeah, that's something to check out.
Yeah.
Friday, April 19th, we have Humor Heals to benefit the Life Center of the Suncoast, which provides counseling for those suffering from grief, loss, and trauma. And that's, you can have dinner and laughter in one night at the club in Cheval in Lutz.
I love that. Well, that's so nice. I love it.
Yeah.
And we're going to have more entertainment news. Rowene, if you're not familiar, we've been trying to find a balance of happiness and a balance in life. Mm-hmm. And we figure if you give love, accept love, give it, you know, we have the Eros love, which we're kind of talking about, and then she covers the agape love for humanity, and then Renee covers the philia love and family love of entertainment. So that's how this show goes.
Nice.
So that's, she covers our agape. So thank you. Those are wonderful. Thank you. And thank you to all of those giving back. Without your hard work and success, I don't know that people would be able to give back in ways. Everyone can give back in different ways. It doesn't have to be money.
Right.
It could be volunteering. It could be just being a listener. It could be, you know.
It could be donations of different type, food or pet supplies. Or.
But everyone we've had on the show here has donated, including Rowene, including you, has donated their time to help you out there. No one's getting paid to be here today. No one cares because they love to give back. So I just want you to know that. So anyway, you are listening to the Shrink and Wrap Show, and we're going to go back to monogamy. So let's listen to our monogamous expert. And so let me ask you something. So what tips can you give to those out there on keeping your monogamous relationship healthy?
Well, listening is definitely number one.
Yep.
Learning to listen to understand is the definite number one important thing to do to maintain a long-term relationship.
Right.
Their respect, mutual respect, is hugely important in maintaining a long-term relationship.
Yep.
And being willing to find win-win situations. Which means each person has to be willing to give just a little bit.
Right.
In order to get to that place where everybody feels like they've won.
Right.
Rather than to engage in that verbal tug of war that I was talking about earlier.
Right. Or always having to be right.
Always having to be right. That's a terrible trap we all get into, needing to be right.
Yeah.
And so watching ourselves for that, that need to be right.
I think when you start arguing it, it becomes something else and not the topic, you know.
Well, interestingly, the way we work physiologically, that is, as soon as we start arguing, as soon as our adrenaline gets to the level where argument is happening, our prefrontal cortex, which is the part that controls creative problem solving, learning anything new, goes completely on offline. So you never have two adults arguing. You have two children arguing the way that they did when they were children, because that's the deepest neural pathway. So arguments never resolve anything because you have 2-3-year-olds going at it the way they did when they were three.
I always tell my husband, well, maybe I'm not the most right I've ever been. It's better than saying I was wrong.
It is. Saves a little face that way.
Right. You're cautious with that. But don't you think, too, the longevity of a relationship can play a big part? Because your immaturity, someone that might meet at 40 or, you know, someone that gets together at 50, compared to someone that met at, you know, in their early 20s, the immaturity, does it grow into a relationship? And how do you change that? You have to be willing to want to change that, I would
think. Long-term relationships are relationships where both parties grow together in a similar manner. One of, you know, I know we've previously talked about what the statistics say about what breaks up relationships. And also, the bigger thing is growing apart. Mm-hmm. Is when one person continues to grow and wants to grow and wants to evolve, and the other one wants to stay where they're at. Mm-hmm. To bring in a little of the spirituality, the universal law of attraction is like attracts like. We always think it's opposites attract. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's like attracts like. It's how we treat ourselves. We attract people who also treat us that way. Mm-hmm. And if one partner is growing, their energy is going to be changing. And if the other partner's stagnant, theirs is going to be decreasing, atrophying. Mm-hmm. And that's not a match any longer. So then they move apart.
So how do you handle that? If that's starting to happen in your relationship, how do you hold on if two people are changing, if you want to hold on? Or how do you handle that?
You set common goals. And the common goals can be, we both want to go to Australia. Mm-hmm. Either the common goal can be, we both like playing golf. It's really important for couples who want to maintain a long-term relationship to have couple goals, mm-hmm, as well as individual goals, because it's the couple goals that will keep you growing together.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And I think couple you goals. See it a lot like when you first start a family and have children, especially if, mm-hmm, one parent stays home and the, right, other continues to work. Mm-hmm. Because then you kind of go different ways.
Right. Well, you have different good focuses point. Of priority. Mm-hmm. But it's really important to maintain that your common goal is to raise these children. Mm-hmm. Now, statistically, we know that couples in their 40s with children are probably the least happy couples there are, unfortunately, mm-hmm, because there is so much less couple time, right, and a lot more parenting time. Mm-hmm. And then in those situations like you were just talking about, where one person goes off to work and the other stays home with the children, if there's not equal respect for both roles, then that really creates a power differential that causes a lot of challenges in couples, mm-hmm, in that age group. Yeah. Particularly
that
when
sense.
You're raising, mm-hmm, kids.
I think it's a good idea to maybe get a babysitter that you can say, hey, I'm going to pay you every Saturday night, mm-hmm, whether you come or not.
Right.
And at least have an open night to maintain the arrows.
Right. And it's like the common goal that you, yeah, said, a,
yes,
date night.
Yeah.
And we're going to be together, our alone time, and concentrate
and meet
on
them
each
at lunch,
yes,
if your kids are in school. Mm-hmm. I mean, make time for the one you love the most.
It is, mm-hmm, absolutely essential, mm-hmm, for for both parents, mm-hmm, to make time for the relationship, yes, mm-hmm, separate from being a mom or a dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, not losing your identity. Would you say that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that, mm-hmm, happens a lot with the stay-at-home parent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whether the, you know, I know male stay-at-home parents.
Right.
It's not a gender bias. Mm-hmm. It's the stay-at-home, right, parents. Their world can tend to funnel down to a very finite focus of the kids and what happens every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they lose touch with who they are, what their hobbies are, the things they like to do. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard place to be in, losing your sense of self.
Right. And it doesn't happen consciously. You just, it,
not
it
at
just
all.
Keeps going, and then one day you're like, wait a minute, what? Who, yeah, am I? What, yeah, happened to my goals?
Yeah. Well, I think having an identity and a balance and prioritizing is, I would say, is a good from everything you're telling me.
But,
right,
you have to be proactive with it.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. Yes.
Because,
I agree. Yeah.
Like you 100%. Said, Trish, it's really easy to slide into the old, mm-hmm, habits and patterns.
Yes.
First, that maybe you saw your parents do, or that you read on or saw on TikTok was a good thing to do, or, mm-hmm, whatever it is, your world can become very narrow.
Yeah.
And then, well, and I have another question here, and it kind of is leading into that, but so do you have, like, some really good ideas to spice up your relationship for those that want to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the age-old struggles is, what do you want for dinner? Mm-hmm. Or where do you want to eat for dinner? Mm-hmm. So my suggestion for that is that each partner needs to write 10 places they like to eat and put them on pieces of paper and put them in a bag or a bowl. And on date night, you pull one of them out, and whatever it is, that's where you're going.
That's fun. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it reduces that
redundancy.
Struggle.
Where are we going to go? I don't want to go there.
Where are we going to go?
Well,
what are we going to eat? Yeah. I want to go there. I don't want to go there. Right. It gets rid of all of that.
Uh-huh. And redundancy. Because I think
redundancy,
I think, creates boredom. And then boredom, because it's like, then it becomes like.
Well, once you pick one, then maybe you need to throw that one in the garbage and replace it with a new
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
A little bit of change is probably.
Yes.
You know, and change is hard because we don't like change.
We don't like change.
But without change, there's no butterflies.
Evolve or dissolve.
Duh, right. There you go.
The second thing is called the Couples Adventure Challenge.
Yeah.
And it's a book. You can get it on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
And there are varying adventures in the book from various lengths of time, 2 hours to, I think, 8 hours, not sure. Mm-hmm. But you don't know what it tells you a few things, how much money it's going to cost, how much time you need, and the kind of clothes you're supposed to wear. But then other than that, you don't know what you're doing until you get in the car. And then you open it and you do whatever is on the piece of paper for you to go do.
That's fun.
That is fun.
Yeah,
are you going to do that?
Is Dee listening?
Yeah.
Cover your ears, Dee.
This is a surprise.
There might be.
The Friends Adventure Challenge.
There might be that.
Well, Ruine, I'm so glad we've met you. I have learned so much on this show just having her on. Have you?
Right.
It's fun.
One thing flows into the next.
It sure does. And is it possible for you to come back next week?
Possible for me to come back next week.
Because I would like to talk more about, I'd like to talk about dating next week.
Dating is so much fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions I think some people I know might be interested in.
Yes,
so we definitely want to.
Lots about dating.
Because that's another relationship.
Yes.
But for all of those that are working on your relationship and or would like to talk more to Rowene, she is going to give you her information right now where she can be contacted. So take it away.
Please visit my website. It's www.rowene.net. You can email me at Rowene1, that's R-O-E-N-E, the numeral 1, at Rowene.net, or feel free to give me a call and I will answer when I'm available. And that number is 813-857-2401.
That is amazing. So you got the numbers?
Yeah.
I've got her number, so just to let you know. She's going to fill up pretty soon. I don't think it's abnormal for anyone to have a licensed therapist in the relationship. I think it's so common now.
It is.
I almost recommend it. And sometimes I hear friends of mine that are actually, when they meet someone, they actually get a relationship coach.
Yes.
And I think that's pretty good, so you can get rid of all the toxic past or you know, come together. Mm-hmm. So
right.
Thank you for your time today.
You are welcome. And I look forward to next week.
Yes,
and seeing what we discover.
And you will be initiated with one of our keychains, by the way. Because again, that's all I got. It's all my budget allows.
Keychains will work.
Thank you. And we'll see you next week. And if you're out there listening, please join us again. We're not finished yet, but come back and see Rowene next week, this on the Shrink and Wrap Show, same time, same place, here at Tan Talk Radio. So now we're going to go into philia love and family love and entertainment love with our famous Renee. Is our girl there?
Hello, how is everyone?
We are doing good. How are you, Renee Nay?
I just love listening to all of that love talk. That makes me so happy.
Thank you.
So listen, guys, I just wanted to mention a couple things. There's not like a lot going on other than some concerts and stuff this weekend. Mm-hmm. And the number one concert of is Madonna, and she's here tonight at the Amalie Arena.
Yes.
There are a few tickets left, from what I understand.
You are going.
I am. I am.
Fine, my friend.
And I'm getting
on my way. I'm getting on my Madonna gear right now. Thinking, I got to pull on my Madonna, inner Madonna. Right. So it starts at 8 o'clock, if you guys are interested. Uh-huh. And then we have Rock the Park that's coming up at Curtis Dixon tonight. Mm-hmm. They're going to start doing this Rock the Park once a month on the first Thursday of each month until July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have a bunch of different artists come in. And you can visit tampabay.com/tickets, and you can find out who's playing and what's coming up.
Okay.
And I know we talked a couple of times about Busch Gardens Food and Wine Festival. It's the best thing. I swear. Al City is there. Do you know who Al City is?
I know just because I looked him up, but I have heard him before. But we'll have to play a song on here.
Mm-hmm. You have to play a song.
Yes,
when they come in. Firefly song.
Firefly, that's a great one, Renee. Yes.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
And it's this Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to say, the last time we talked, I didn't get very much time to tell you this, because you have to kind of buy tickets ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But the notable mention is the Tampa Bay Food and Wine Festival at Curtis Dixon Park.
Oh.
That's kicking off April 9th at 7 p.m.
Well, that sounds like
so
fun.
So that will be next Thursday, and then it goes through April 13th. But there's all these great chefs in Tampa Bay. But let me give you the website.
Okay.
And then you all can look up what you want. It's www.tampabaywff.com.
Thank you.
And it's 5 days of culinary experience, and you're going to love it.
Ooh, I like
Tampa
that already.
Bay also... And if you love wine, the Burns Wine Fest is always a grand thing to go to, and that's April 12th and 13th. And one last notable mention, Tampa Bay Rodeo. Who's been to a Tampa Bay Rodeo?
I haven't.
No.
Have you?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, they have them all over, okay? So one is at Hillsborough County Festival this week, and then on the 12th, there's one, and I haven't been there, but I heard it's pretty good, but it's at the Harley-Davidson Park, and I think it's on, I'm going to give you the address, it's Hillsborough County Fair .com/rodeo dash family festival.
Okay.
So it's for the whole family.
So there are no excuses to get out there. Renee did her homework. Trish did her homework. We've covered all the Greek mythology of love, giving, taking, having fun, giving back. Rowene, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Juan, for being with us today. And all of you listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen out to this show right here at Tan Talk Radio. I leave you today with my final quote. And being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. And let's take a listen to Adele, Make You Feel My Love. Have a great week, and we'll see you right here next week at the Shrink and Wrap Show.